Morning. All right. My name's Rich Elliott. I go to Horizon in Indy, and I've been coming to the men's advance, whether it was here or out in Crawfordsville or wherever we had it, at the YMCA camp for a long time. And I can honestly say this is the first early morning devotion I've ever woken up for. So I'm at work on Wednesday, and Ron calls me, and he says, "Hey, what would you think about doing devotion on the weekend?" And I said, the first thought in my mind was, I know why I don't go to devotions. I need sleep. I love sleep. I don't know about you guys. But 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And one thing that MS does in many people's bodies is it just drags you down. So not only do I love sleep, I need sleep. I mean, I am the king of the nap, okay? So that's really why I haven't come, especially in the last 12 years, because, you know, you're up late and, you know, you're always on the go here and you know, I just need to make sure my body gets rest. I don't want to throw it into a relapse. So that's the very first thought I had. And then the second thought I had was one of my best friends in the world just asked me to do something. That's the Spirit of God talking. And I can't say no. My job is to obey. And so then I go down this process of, what am I going to say? All right. And literally until almost this moment, and as we go, we'll find out what I got to say, because I'm not sure. This is going to be kind of a short compilation of some things that the Lord has been dealing with in me, and I believe has a challenge for all of us, because I can't believe I'm the only one in the world who needs to understand some things better. So let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We lift you up high and exalted. You are more than worthy to be praised. I pray that you move in and through us, or that we allow you to move in and through us, that we make the choice to move in and through us, so that we can be light to this world, salt to this earth, and be the change agents and the ones who can actually have an impact on the lives of those we come in contact with. Cause us to be obedient to your word, to your calling, to that small, still voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So go to Luke 9. Oh, the other thing is, I wake up this morning and I got cotton mouth like there's no tomorrow. Luke 9. So chapter starts out, and Jesus is sending out the 12. He tells them, take nothing for the journey, and whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart, and all that. Then we learn about Herod, you know, looking for Jesus, and then he feeds 5,000, okay? So you know, as you go through this account in Luke, you know, they got these 5,000 people, and they got the loaves and the fishes, and right, and there's stuff left over, and like, this is amazing, right? And what do you think these people are thinking? You know, this is amazing. What do you think the disciples are thinking? Well, this is amazing. Well, maybe we've seen it before, but, you know, quite frankly, I don't know if this is the first account of that or not, but, you know, the disciples, they're like, wait a minute. And then in verse 18, and it happened. It just happened. As he was alone praying. So we go from this big crowd of people, Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then it happened. He was alone praying. I don't know the transition here, okay? But he goes from being around all these people to he's alone praying. So he's alone praying. So how many of you have done, you know, you're alone praying, you're at home, and you got kids, and all of a sudden you're not alone praying, right? It's kind of the same way. Jesus' kids all of a sudden interrupt his prayer time, right? And so he looks up, he says, hey, who do the crowd say I am? And this is where Peter, you know, answers, he says, the Christ. So now he's no longer talking to the big crowd. He's talking to the 12. And he strictly warns and commands them in verse 21 to tell this to no one. Really? Aren't we supposed to tell the world? Tell this to no one. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, do what? I couldn't hear you. Really? Deny myself. No, wait a minute. Jesus, Come on, dude, right? I was born to worship myself. That's the way I've lived my life. It's all about me. I know you've come around and you kind of started to change things a little bit and say some different things, but I'm a selfish human being. Deny myself what? Dinner tonight? A comfortable bed? He says, if anyone desires, makes a choice, wants to do, to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I don't know about you guys. That challenges me. To challenge you? I mean, really, deny yourself. What's that mean? How many times in a day does someone have to put a sign up in front of us to keep reminding us that we have to deny ourselves? But is it us that does the denying? Yeah, absolutely. Ron mentioned about being disciplined. And there's certainly some disciplines, but, Tom said last night, we're singing the song about Jesus being fierce. Wow, what a different idea that Jesus is fierce. He's not this, this wussy man petting a lamb that we all see that picture of, right? Jesus' love is fierce. Okay, finish this sentence for me. In the beginning. So there's kind of two in the beginnings we know about, right? It's kind of two, right? So we have in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And we have in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? John 1:1. Which in the beginning came first? John 1:1, Genesis 1. Why? Couldn't hear you. In the beginning was God. You can't create the heaven and the earth unless you already exist, right? And I don't know, look, I was the half of the class in school. I was the half of the class that made the top half possible. No lie. All right? A lot of people stood on my shoulders, okay? All right? Even these scrawny shoulders, all right? So, I I'm no smart guy. And yet, just in the last, 5 or maybe 10 years, I stopped trying to figure it out. God's just been stirring in me something different. I've been a believer since September 12th, 1981. It's a long time. I know I only look 37. I'm 56. But I haven't been following Christ. I haven't been denying myself, taking up my cross daily and following Him, really like I should, until about the last 15 years. That's a crying shame. That's not what Christ calls us to do. It's not what He compels us to do. Go to James 4, verse 1. What time is bacon? What time is bacon time? 8 o'clock. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know what he's talking about there? Come on. I can't hear you. Motives, self, human nature. Might we say idolatry? Okay. So I Ron and myself and a few guys went through a study on this. So the pastor defines an idol as anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts and minds and affections more than God. Think about that. I'll say it again. Anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts and minds and affections more than God. I had never heard that way. I had always thought golden calf, okay? Anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts and minds and affections more than God. My wife, whom I've been married to for 33 years, 4 months, and 27 days. Today, my son, my job, my car, my golf game. Well, if I'm worshiping that, I'm in trouble. So about 16 years ago, our marriage was not doing well. So I just told you I've been married over 33 years. 33 minus 16 is 17. I did learn that. So 17 years we've been married, and we weren't doing that well. So came a day, and we're talking. And I said, we should go to counseling. It wasn't quite with that tone, but we should go get some counseling. And she says, no. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I know probably most of this, some of this, you may say all of it, honey, but is about, you know, I'm messed up. I'm going to go. So I went to this guy that a friend of mine suggested. So I go see him and I tell him what's up. And basically at the end, he says, I want you to do two things between now and the next session. He says, I want you to go buy this book. The book was called The Silence of Adam. It's now called Men of Courage. And I want you to start reading it. And then I want you to take a blank piece of paper. I want you to write your wife's name at the top. I want you to write pros on the left side and cons on the right side, the good and the bad, and draw a line down the middle and start filling it out. Okay, I could do that. So I do it. Buy the book, start reading it. I go back and see him. Second session, paying this guy big bucks, right? Tells me to read a book and write a list. Wow, he went to school for that, okay? But again, I'm the half the class that makes him possible, right? So he says, well, did you do it? I go, yep. He goes, what'd you think? I said, well, I find it fascinating that this book early on talks about a recipe theology versus a transcendent theology, and that we should not have a theology based on recipes, but they are, that our theology should be transcendent throughout our whole life and every aspect of it. And you're a guy who kind of gives recipes on how to fix lives. So that was kind of confusing to me. Okay, he says. He says, do you have the list? I go, yeah, I give him the list. He looks at it. He says, can I read this to you? I said, okay. He says, I'll read the left-hand side. That's the good side, the pros. And he reads it. He looks up at me and he says, most men would kill to be married to a woman like this. I never went back. I'm not a smart man. But I can tell when something's right. And that was the beginning of my awakening. Because who was I focused on? Actually, I was focused on the idol of my life, who was my wife. You've heard happy wife, happy life? It's a lie from the pit of hell. Listen to me, men. It's a lie. It's not biblical. Find it in Scripture and come chase me down. You won't find it. I'm not saying your wife shouldn't be happy. But it is not your job. It's not your job to make her happy. Your job is to do what Tom Harmon told us last night. Glorify your God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job. That's why we're here. Period. Paragraph. Let's go to John 3:30. No, don't even go to John 3:30. You know what John 3:30 says, don't you? Who's John 3:30? John the Baptist is there, right? Jesus shows up on the scene. And John the Baptist says something really simple, right? Because they're thinking, hey, yo, John, this dude is like, you know, kind of acting like he's more powerful than you. You know what John the Baptist says? He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Really simple. Preach is easy. It lives hard. I said that before Tom this week, so that's my saying. So if you hear him say that, I heard that from Tom first. Preach is easy. It lives hard. He must increase. So start down this journey of learning about Jesus increasing. So think about the words, how They flow, okay? Well, wait a minute. What do I have to do? How do I decrease all this? So here's the easy part of it. You get in fellowship with God through prayer and through His Word. Through His Word, okay? Electronic or paper. And you allow Him to increase more within you. And guess what happens? There's less room for you, right? As He increases in you, it's like it's shoving you out. And I am so far from being the man that I know God wants me to be. But I am so far from being the man that I was before. Because we know Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but do what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And we don't transform ourselves. We deny ourselves. And I am no Bible scholar. I know maybe 7 verses by heart, maybe 8. I don't know. Okay? But I know 22 years of sitting under the teaching of Bill Goodrich and coming to things like this, doing my own study time. I know God's Word. I don't know it. I'm not Tom Harmon who can look out and see it in the air. You know? Do not be conformed to this world. Right? But I know it. And it has transformed me. I am not the man today than I was 15, 16 years ago. And yeah, I had to make some choices. And I did have to do some things. First and foremost, I had to obey. See, because 1 Samuel 15:22 says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. So men, do not go home Sunday and say to your wife, if you have one, honey, it ain't all about you anymore. All right? Not sure that's a recipe for success, okay? But don't go home Sunday until you have said to your God, Lord, I love you. I thank you. I want to glorify you in all that I do. And I'm going to stub my toe and stumble and fall. But through your power and through your help, you're going to knock the idols out of my life, and I'll be obedient. When that still small voice, God doesn't yell at us. He whispers. And we can't hear a whisper unless we're really listening. You can hear this. God doesn't do that very often. But when he whispers to us, it's when he's really talking. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for who you are. And I give you all praise and glory. We are just mere fallen, sinful men who desire to bring glory to you. And I pray, Lord, that you just show us, reveal those idols in our lives. Take them away. Help us to identify them. But help us to cause us, Lord. Don't help us. Just cause us to do it. Cause us to release them to you. We love you and we thank you. And we just want to love you, love you, and love you. Because you loved us first. So continue to move in us. Move through us. Continue to increase in us. Don't let us leave this weekend the same as we came. Thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, hey, real quick. If you've not seen this book, look, see how thin it is? It's 12 chapters. This is an amazing tool. You're looking to do a one-on-one with another man, and you don't know what to do. Oh, let's open up the Bible and start in Hebrews. Really? I mean, come on. Where are you going to go with that? Most of us don't know that. This is an amazing tool. I have done this study one-on-one with men who walked with Christ for 35 years, walked with Christ for 35 years, all the way down to people who are unbelievers. Three unbelievers started this study with me. Three unbelievers are followers of Jesus. Praise God. This is so easy. You don't have to do anything but answer the questions. I'll show it to you later. Thanks, guys.